2 Corinthians chapter number 5, let's begin reading in verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? And I'll be honest with you, it could be preached a whole lot better than what you're going to hear from me this morning. And later in my life, in my ministry, if you'll stick around, I'll preach it again and do better than I am this morning. But I'm going to give you what the Lord's led for me. Well, how was your Christmas? Did you have a nice Christmas? We had a really nice Christmas. We've got three boys, an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And the 1.5-year-old really enjoyed himself this year. He didn't, you know, last year he was a 1/2-year-old, right? And he just didn't really get the whole thing. But we knew this year he would really enjoy it. And he didn't, like, dig in. We thought he would dig in. You know, Jack and Henry, I drove them nuts this year. We got Henry a Santa Claus suit. Don't hold that against me. And so he dressed up like Santa Claus. And I made him wait to dig into their presents. I said, no, Henry's going to be Santa and let him hand out the gifts. And that drove Jack nuts. He's giving them to everybody but me, you know. Oh, I didn't know you were in here, Jack. I'm sorry. But Mr. Thomas, when he would get to the 1.5, when he would get to his, he would rip it a little until he saw what was in there, and then he quit opening them. He was just so excited about what he saw. He wouldn't open it the rest of the way or play with it. He wanted to show us what he had found under this wrapping paper. It was very cute, you know. He'd hold it and look at you and grunt like he does, you know, to let you know that it was there. But we had a good Christmas. I appreciate all the gifts you all gave us. You all just showered our family with Christmas gifts, and I really appreciate that. And the church as a whole gave us a really nice gift, and I want you to know we appreciate it. I don't ever want you to think we take it for granted. We thank you for that very much. But with Christmas behind us, some of you still, it's not behind you yet. Some of you still have Christmas to go, but with Christmas behind us, are you ready for a new year? I know I am. I'm ready to start a new year, ready to get things going. And with a new year right around the corner, I want you to get to thinking this today, what will a new year mean for you? That to be on your mind today. What will the new year mean for me? Think that today as we go through this. Will it be business as usual, or do you intend to do something new this year? And our passage today deals with that, with something new. It essentially says, I have been reconciled to God in Christ and am now a new creature. God has removed my trespasses and given me a ministry of reconciliation. I want to share this passage with you today to have you begin thinking about a new year and what it could mean for you. It could mean, and these are the three things that we come across here in our passage today, a new reputation, new relationships, and new responsibility. Now, wouldn't that sounds pretty good for a new year, doesn't it? A new reputation, some new relationships, and some new responsibilities. If we think of it in the secular sense, those are all the things that we all strive for so hard in life. If you have a bad reputation, then you would rather get a new one. You would like for people to like you. You would like to, you know, we all admire people who are popular, you know, that have really good reputations. And we think of the relationships. We always want really good relationships. And if we have any toxic relationships, then we hope for in the new year, I'm gonna find new friends, or I'm gonna get new relationships. And who doesn't want new responsibilities, especially as we think of it in the terms of a career, you know, more responsibility, more pay, and higher up in the ladder of careers there. But all that may sound good in the secular sense, but I want to say to you today that it sounds better in the spiritual sense. And I want to share those things with you here to start a new year right with heaven, not so much on earth. All right? So let's begin verse number 17 with a new reputation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I realize that off the surface here, there's a lot more to this than the reputation part of it. Reputation just made it work right so I can alliterate an outline, all right? So just have to blame the preacher in me that likes to do those kind of things on this. I get that it's a lot more than a reputation. But it is the reputation's a lot of it. This verse 17 is an if-then statement. You learned about if-then statements in elementary school or middle school or sometime in English class. You learned about if-then statements. Our English class changed from English class to they began to be called language arts. So it was something special. Either that or we just weren't learning English, right? So they had to give it a new name. I don't know which one. But do they still call it that now? Is it English or language arts? Do we know? Language arts. All right. So I'm up with the times then, what I learned. Those of you who learn English in school, you're behind. But hopefully in school you learned about what an if-then statement was. And that's what we have here in verse number 17. If you are in Christ, then you become new. And the opposite there is if you're not, then you don't. The problem is when we try to become new when we're not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you're just the same old you. And you can't become what it is that you hope to be or want to be or strive to be because you're not in Christ. That's how an if-then statement works. If you have this, then you have that. And that's what we're dealing with here this morning. I would ask the question to you here, have you ever tried to reinvent yourself? Have you ever tried to be something new, something better, someone else? Maybe you have. I bet you, even without meaning to, all of us in here have said, you know, I'm going to change my hair, or I'm going to grow a beard, or I'm going to dress a little different, or I'm going to get some new clothes, or I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to gain some weight. I've never had to say that. Or I'm going to tone up a little bit and get in shape. Or I'm going to be more healthy. Or I'm going to be more positive. I'm going to read more. Aren't these things that we say this time of year? As we kind of become a new person and have a better year and do more than we did last year, we're going to reinvent ourselves. That becomes news in our culture. From time to time, a celebrity will recreate themselves. Or maybe a company will rebrand their image when they have some bad publicity. Anybody heard of a company lately who's had to rebrand their image? Cracker Barrel. I forgot about Cracker Barrel. That's not who I was going to use. Did somebody say BP? Did somebody say that? A&E. Yeah, A&E, Cracker Barrel. They've all got on the bad end of things with Duck Dynasty. And all the guys in the house with beers say. Beards. I said beers. I meant to say beards. Anybody have beers here this morning? No? Okay. It's the medicine. I've been sick. I'm on medication. So there we go. My third mistake of the day. Should I just give up and let you come on up here, Pastor Rob? It was too easy to jump on that. I've got to be careful. That's right. That's right. I thought of BP when I thought of a company rebranding its image. You know, they don't need to be known as a company that pollutes the Gulf, right? They need to become known as a company that promotes white sandy beaches and really good seafood, you know. So they've really promoted that in their advertising and all that now. So now when I go to buy gas at the BP station, I automatically want some grilled seafood, you know. I don't know what's going on there. They've rebranded their image really well. All right. Those of you in the first service who laughed at that, I appreciate it. Y'all are nice people. Work hard all week on these jokes. But we know of this reimaging, rebranding, recreating. We do it ourselves sometimes, even if we don't call it that or mean to do that. But you know what always ends up happening? We just tend to migrate back to being who we are. I mean, it's just what we do. No matter how hard we try, we're just going to be us. I mean, we were using BP this morning and picking on them. But really, when it all comes right around to it, they're still just a company that has gas stations. No matter how they swing it or twist it or whatever, that's what they are. That's what they do. And they're pumping oil out of the ocean. And I'm glad they are because my car takes that to get down the road. And there's going to be spills. And that's the end of it. It's just that simple with you and I as well. I mean, I love the idea that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I like to read after Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and he says he likes to say they're a new creation, because that's essentially what we're becoming when we become a new creature. We go from the old creation that we know Adam and Eve, and they sinned, and all of mankind was cursed, and we all become sinners, and that's our sin nature. But in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We're recreated. We're created again. We're made new. We're in the Gospels, it's called born again, and we're no longer in the sin curse. I like that idea, and we think they're here this morning about that, and we realize that when we're in Christ and we become that new creation, that lends us to a new reputation. The only way for you and I to ever change or to become new is in Christ. And when we do, the old goes away, and all become new. Some of you know exactly what this verse talks about because you've experienced that. Now in Christ, your old self has died away. A new person is born, and eventually you get that new reputation. Now what's wonderful there is not so much that the old passes away, but that the new comes. It's our human nature to tend to want to focus on the old man being gone and the old things being passed away. And that is important because it does have to go away. But what's great there is the new that comes. You see, there's just in our human nature, we can make some old things go away. You can try to change some habits or stop doing some things you've never done before. But there's nothing that you can do in your human nature to make something new come. You ever realize that humans can't create? If you're artsy in here this morning, that'll make you angry, and I don't mean to. And I really like that because I'm not very creative at all. I'm just not. I'm just the same all the time. And what I am is how I am, and that's how I do things. And I understand that people do create on a minor scale, but Solomon said it right when he said, there's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new on the earth. You're here today, though, and you've experienced this. You understand what it means is that if I'm in Christ, all things become new. I'm a new creation. You get that it brings you a new reputation. But if you've never experienced this, then you may be wondering, well, how does that happen? It happens, as we continue in verse number 18 and 19, through a new relationship. Look at verse number 18 with me. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Did you notice a repetition there? The word reconcile, reconciliation, reconciled, is used over and over and over again there. Verse 18 and 19 deals solely with that term, reconciliation. Now, when you and I use the term reconcile nowadays, we use it usually in the area of finance. When we're talking about our checkbook or something to do in a business end with money, we talk about reconcile. That's not the idea of what's being used here. Reconcile means to restore a relationship. God, through Christ, has reconciled us to Himself. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Being reconciled by God means we who are enemies of God have become friends of God. What a wonderful thought. And that's what we get here when we deal with reconciliation. Now, that's a continuation of, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All the old things are passed away. All things become new. And then in Christ, we realize that God hath reconciled us unto Himself. Well, that's a wonderful thought. In verse 17, we read of the effects of justification. You know what justification means. What does justification mean? There we go. We've been working on that one. Just as if I'd never sinned. Now, we're giving you words here that I want you to put into your vocabulary. Sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Set apart. That doesn't mean set apart from some things. That's separation. Sanctification means what? Set apart to. To what? To God. So sanctification. We're sanctified people. And then we've learned justification. What is justification? Just as if I'd never sinned. We're made that way in God's sight. We know glorification. And if you're wondering where all these come from, go to Romans 9 and just underline them there. Romans 9 really lays them out well for you. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Romans 8 and Romans 9. Glorification. What does glorification mean? New body. A new, right? We're being made new now because we're being sanctified. We're already justified as far as heaven's concerned. Now, if I ask you about you and you ask me about me, I'd say, I don't know about you. I don't know if you're justified or not. But in God's sight, we are. So we're sanctified, justified, we will be glorified. I want to add a new word on there for you today. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Anybody know our new word? Reconciliation. I want you to add that one too, because reconciliation takes all the others, our cake. Reconciliation is the icing on the cake. It's a wonderful term, and I want to deal with reconciliation with you here just a little bit today as we talk about a new relationship. A new reputation is good. Justification. I'm made just as if I'd never sinned. But what makes this so much more full? You see, justification alone is rather empty. Yes, my sins are forgiven, but now what? I mean, if that was the end of it, well, just let me go on to heaven and be where my sins are forgiven, because down here it's a struggle, isn't it? Every day is a struggle. Every week's a struggle. Every year is a struggle. I looked at some of you this morning and said, are you ready for a new year? And some of you looked like you weren't very sure, because that's where we are in justification. And sanctification is a work. It's a constant process. It's like the doctor saying, you can live, but you're going to take these pills the rest of your life. Reconciliation fills all this out. It makes it good. It makes it better. It's relationship. Reconciliation. The restoring of our relationship with God. Hold your spot here in 2 Corinthians and turn over with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 takes justification and then tacks reconciliation on top of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful way of thinking of this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Well, I like that. It's wonderful. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm glad to have access, aren't you? I mean, there are a lot of things in life I'll never have access to. There are a lot of things in life I don't want access to. But this is one of those things I want access, and I'm glad to get that access. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Well, that's odd, isn't it? How do we glory in tribulations? That's just weird. What kind of person calls right after a death and says they got healed? That's not right. We should cry and be sad and be mad at God because He took them. Why would we say they got healed? They died. No. Because we have access by faith into this grace, we can glory in tribulations. The hardest things that can come in life, the believer can say, well, praise God anyhow, because we know this is not it. That doesn't come solely through justification, but we're getting to where it does, and I want you to follow me here as we go. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience, what's that word? Hope. Glad we have a hope, aren't you? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For then we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Rarely will you find that someone will die for someone else. Amen? I mean, that's just the facts. I mean, there are some people in life that I would say, well, I'd give my life for them. My wife and my family are very important to me. But even some of you who are the best people I know, it would be hard for me to give up my life to die for you, but especially not someone who I consider mean or wicked or cruel or bad. For scarcely for a righteous man one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But what? But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad it wasn't once we got all right, once we got everything in order, once we got our life lined up like it should be, once we became a success, Christ died for us? No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Underline that verse in your Bible. Much more then. How much more can there be? I mean, what is Paul saying here? Paul, don't give me any more. I can't take it. What does he mean, much more then? Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled, there it is, to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Well, isn't that wonderful? Listen, I'm not saying here I'm not satisfied with the little bit that I'm aware that I have. On March 9, 1994, in a place called Commerce, Georgia, 11 years old, I prayed, I got saved, I converted, whatever word you want to call it. A few weeks later, I was baptized, I became a Christian, and here I stand. I'm happy that I'm not going to die and go to hell and be separated from God for the rest of my life, and that I know that heaven is my eternal dwelling place. That's good for me. And I don't even deserve all that. And I stand before you this morning glad of it. But Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. And then he puts a bunch more to it. In Romans chapter 5, he says, being justified, we have peace with God. But then he adds much more to that. That's what I want to get you to this morning is, what is a new year going to mean for you? Yes, it could be a new reputation. But more than that, it could be a new relationship. I feel like as Christians, a lot of times we stop at the justification and we never move over into the reconciliation and realize the relationship that we're to have with Almighty God. What is reconciliation? It's a restoring of our relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. Well, that's something. That is much more then. Let me give it to you like this as the illustration that was shared with me. A judge, can go and stand before a judge and be guilty of sin. And the judge can make you blameless. He can say, you're not guilty, you're forgiven, your slate is clean, and you can walk out of that judge's presence, walked in guilty, walked out not guilty. That's what we consider salvation, right? That's right. Justification. That's what we would consider odd there is if we were in an actual courthouse, I would go home to my house and he would go home to his house, and I wouldn't want to see him anymore, would you? Well, I definitely wouldn't want to have to come back into his courthouse. I wouldn't want anything to do with him, and he probably wouldn't want to do anything with me because he had my list of wrongs right up there in front of him. He wouldn't want me around his children. But that's not what God did. God not only justified, God reconciled. God, we stood before the judge and he said, you're not guilty. Jesus shed his blood on the cross and your sins are now forgiven. But that's not all. Won't you come home and have dinner with me? And better yet, I'll make you part of my family. While he was getting rid of our sins and bringing us into the heaven through justification, he also said, oh, you're an orphan, by the way. Why don't I adopt you and make you part of the family? And better than that, I don't even want you to just live in my family and be part of it, but I want you to join in on the inheritance because there's an inheritance coming and you can share in that too. That's reconciliation. Now, let me back up again and say, are you looking forward to a new year? I mean, we read about the things that are to come. I'm in Revelation right now. You know, you're reading through the Bible and we're getting toward the new end of a year and I'm in Revelation. I should have started somewhere else. I don't want to be in Revelation right now. And I think I can see why they said, even so, Lord, come quickly if things get this bad. But then this morning I got to thinking, if things can be that good, say even so, Lord, come quickly. Not because things are real bad, but because I can't wait for things to get that good. I mean, right now it's an idea. Right now it's a hope, but soon it will be. Soon there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Soon we will be in Jesus' presence. Soon all the things that are said to come to pass will come to pass, and I just can't wait. Don't you love that anticipation before Christmas? Or before your birthday? Or before your anniversary? When you know someone's going to do something good for you, and you can't wait to get it in your hands and have it, and it be yours? That's what I think about this morning when I think about reconciliation. God has restored our relationship with Him. I'm glad He did. Look at verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. We couldn't do it. We wouldn't have done it. But it's all about Him, and He is in control, and He did it. God restored us unto Himself. It couldn't be done any other way. We couldn't go to Him. He couldn't be a part of us. We were enemies of God. You're of your father, the devil. It's a wonderful thought. By now in life, you're probably aware that it's all about relationships. That is the key. If you're looking for the key to life, it's relationships. You ever heard that saying in business? It's not what you know, it's who you know. I don't like that. And I don't like that it's that way. And it makes us angry when he gets the job and I don't because he knew somebody and I didn't. Right? We don't like that. But I'll just be honest with you. You're not changing that. You can have the best resume in the world and it gets shuffled into a stack of 57 other resumes with somebody's uncle's brother's cousin's son be in that stack and they might even have a resume and they're going to get it because they know them. Can I tell you today, it's just like that with God. You could be educated until your brain is full on the things of the Word of God and have no relationship with Almighty God. And in heaven, I promise you, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I knew every Bible story in here before I ever got saved. I was raised in a preacher's house. I was raised in Sunday school. I was raised in church. I knew all about the Bible. I didn't know the God of the Bible. It's wonderful today to be able to stand before you and bask in the fact that not only am I justified, my sins forgiven, but I've been reconciled and I have a relationship with Him now. Your standing in eternity has everything to do with your relationship with God. This new year can mean a new relationship for you. In the process of reconciliation, we receive a new reputation, don't we? Not the old man anymore. I'm a new person. I bet some of you have been saved and you've changed and you're somebody much different than you used to be. People probably come around and say, you're just not the same old guy we used to like so much. They might have even said, you're not as much fun as you used to be. Well, I'll tell you on this end, you're a lot more fun than you used to be because you scared some of us before, and we're glad Jesus came into your heart now. But in this process of reconciliation, we don't only get that new reputation and a new relationship, we also get a new responsibility. Notice verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You're hoping for the big job for this new year, new title. It doesn't get much better than that, does it? Ambassador. You say, well, that's just fictitious. That's just something in the Bible. That's just how Paul decided to word it. No. That's who we are. We are heaven's ambassadors upon the earth. I mean, who else if not us? I know I don't look like much. And none of us do. I mean, when you think of how wonderful heaven is and how new heaven is going to be, that's who we are. We are who God wants to be ambassadors for Him. We're who God said, hey, reconciliation is the product and you're the salesperson. Reconciliation is what we're all about and I need you to go to that far country and share it with those people. You're the ambassador. That's our new responsibility. In verse 18, Paul writes that God has restored our relationship and given us a ministry of reconciliation. In verse number 19, he says that God has not imputed our trespasses to us, rather, dropped off those trespasses, and what He has imputed is the word of reconciliation. Our new responsibility is to be God's representative on earth in His business of reconciliation. And I would say to you today, it's no light task. It is very much a responsibility. We represent the very God of heaven, and He doesn't take days off. I mean, your regular job will give you Christmas off and New Year's and all of that, but you get no days off being a Christian. That was the deal. When you signed up, see, preachers are bad not to tell you these things. Come to the altar this morning, get saved, and we'll baptize you and take you into the church. We forget to tell you that now you're going to have to work really hard for the rest of time. You're going to have to tell everybody about Jesus, and no days off. You don't ever not get to be a Christian. You always have to be a Christian. I'm joking around. Our new responsibility is to be God's representative. We represent the God of heaven. We've been given the same restoration that we are intended to share. So there's no going back. We can't not do this. As it's been freely given to us, we are to freely share that with others. You see, for many of us, this is not a new responsibility. It's a responsibility we've had for many years, but we've just not been doing it. We are ambassadors. You know, a political ambassador is given the same respect as the one he represents. He sent an ambassador from America to represent our country. The country he visits is to respect him as much as if the president himself were to go. Amen? Is that how an ambassador works? I'm guessing. I don't know. I was asking. Is it? No. We are given that same thought process here on earth. Many times we forget that as Christians. We forget that we represent the very God of heaven. Many times it's just church members. We forget that it's not just the minister. It's not just the denominational leader. It's not just the Billy Grahams of the world who carry that same respect. But it's every one of us. Just not just the preacher who's the ambassador. We're all ambassadors. He's also expected to act with the same dignity as he goes out. If our president were to go somewhere, there's a certain dignity he should hold himself in. An ambassador who goes in his place should act with that same dignity as he would demand the same respect, should hold himself in the same manner. How would God be if God were on earth? Are we acting with that same dignity? I want to scorn you just a little bit. Is that all right? And scorn you just a little bit here. We can't bask in the glory of verse 17. We like to. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We can't bask in the glory of verse 17 while neglecting our responsibility in verse 20. We are to be an ambassador. You're not doing that. You missed the point in verse 17. We can't experience the wonder of a new relationship from verse 18 to 19 while not fulfilling our family duties from verse number 20. I mean, it's one thing to think that God not only justified us, but He reconciled us unto Himself. He took us home. He gave us dinner and took us into the family and gave us an inheritance. It's great to wonder about all of that and just enjoy it. But to be part of the family means we have family duties. Did you have chores growing up? Chores at home? I mean, I got to have Christmas with the family, but I also took out all the trash for the family. Now, I'm not saying if I didn't take out the trash, they wouldn't have gave me Christmas. but it was expected of me. Other, cut the grass, whatever it was. There's, families have family duties. God's family is no different. We have a responsibility to others to share God's reconciliation. It works through reputation. They don't care how much you know. Have you heard this? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It works through relationship. Just as God didn't forgive us and forget us, we can't leave others at conversion. You see, we've gotten into this bad habit in our Baptist churches of saying, come and get saved, come and get saved, come and get saved. Let's baptize, baptize, baptize. We're happy the numbers that we say this many people got saved and this many people were baptized this year. But my question to us is, how many of those are still around? How many of those have we discipled? How many of those have sat with us in our kitchen at the table and learned the things that we learned? And we can gripe until we're blue in the face about the state of the maturity of the Christians in our churches. But until we become those who disciple them, we're missing the point. We're doing just like we wouldn't want God to do us, is just justify us and leave us. No, what He did, He justifies us and then He reconciles us. Well, all at the same time, really. And that's exactly the ministry we've been given here. It reads that very much in verse number 18. We've been given that ministry of reconciliation. We bring others to Christ, and then we help others in Christ. You know what a good goal would be instead of saying, I want to get three people in church this year? A good goal would be, I want to help one person that takes all my life come to Jesus and then learn the Bible and disciple. If you worked with one person, maybe one person a year, but really, if you did one person in all of your life and you brought them into the church, you helped them get away from their old man and into the new man, learn the Word of God, you've really done something. You're really a success by having standards if you've done that. We have a responsibility to others to share God's reconciliation. But more than that, we have a responsibility to Christ. Notice verse 21. For He hath made Him. Now who is He there? God. And who is Him? Jesus. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God had Jesus become sin while Jesus knew no sin. In our place, while we knew all about sin, didn't we? Still do. For all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. So that, not so that Jesus could become the righteousness of God, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Jesus. You know what we would say if that happened to us, if we were put in Jesus' place there? We would say, that's not fair. Why should I have to become sin for them? They're the sinners. And why do they get to be the righteous of God? I'm the one who did the work. But God thought it was fair. God thought it was just. God thought it was right. And Jesus did too. And you and I are the beneficiaries of that. Thus, we get to hold in our hands this morning a word that tells us we've been reconciled. We've been brought back into the family. We've been made friends of God. The Almighty God of heaven loves us enough. Well, there's a good verse for that. John 3:16. You know that one, don't you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are to be ambassadors for Christ's sake. When we pray things, how do we close our prayers? We pray what? In Jesus' name I pray. I would challenge you to really think what you're saying there when you say that. That is the right way to pray. But what you're saying to God is just what verse number 21 says here. God, because Jesus did all this, I'm asking these things for His glory, for His honor, for His purpose, not for my own. You won't be an ambassador for any other reason. Do it for Christ's sake. We've turned that into a slang term. Someone yelling at their child, for Christ's sake, don't do this. I'm going to use it this morning and not a slang term. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Also that we who are sinners could be made the righteousness of God, a new creation. The first creation was cursed and ruined. A new creation came through Christ's sacrifice. So if you're here today and you've never been saved, for Christ's sake, accept Him today. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And you're going to live without that? And if you're here today and you have done that, you've been saved, for Christ's sake, share that with others. Don't do it for the preacher. Don't do it for your church. Don't even do it for yourself. Do it for Him. What's the new year going to mean for you? If you're here today and you're a Christian, a new year can mean a fresh start. How's your reputation with others? Now, don't think of someone else when I ask you that. We're bad to do that, aren't we? When the preacher says, "How's your reputation with others?" You say, "Yeah, they need to work on theirs. Get them, preacher." No, think about you. How's your reputation with others? Christ redeemed us for the old to pass away. Is the old passing away in your life? God reconciled you so that you can become new. Are you becoming new? Are you allowing those fruits of the Spirit to grow in your life? What about your relationship? God didn't just justify you, He reconciled you. Are you participating daily in a relationship with Him? Do you get up in the morning and just look forward to the time you get to spend with Him in prayer? Or do you get up in the morning and say, "Well, I've got to pray"? Do you get up and open the Bible and say, "I can't wait to see what the Word of God says to me today"? Or do you say, "I've got to find time to read my Bible today"? God wants a relationship with you. He desires a relationship with you. He desires that you commune with Him, that you read His words, that you allow Him to lead you in your life. What about your relationship? And then what about your responsibility? Are you skirting your biblical responsibility? And we hold our earthly responsibility in such high esteem, don't we? But someday that's not going to matter. I'm not saying don't go to work and work hard and don't have a good reputation in the community. Do that. We need to do that. But someday in heaven, it's not going to matter how well you did on your job. What's going to matter is how well you did on heaven's job for you, which is ambassador. You know, at the end of the year, like around business, you hear this. It said, "Well, did you have a good year?" You ever heard someone say that? Or had someone say that? "How was your year? How did it go?" Imagine if they called us up to heaven today and said, "How was your year? We sent you down there as ambassador. How'd you do this year?" I'm afraid I would get fired. Christian, a new year can mean a fresh start. Pray for that today. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, a new year could be a new you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a wonderful passage. Let's stand. For our invitation today, why don't you sing that song for us? That's a good song. It goes right along with this. You can just stay right there if you'd like. Let's all stand, head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Let's have a time of prayer. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've been saved, you're in the family of God, pray today for this to be a new year, some new things for you. Pray that God will help you to have a new reputation. Pray that you'll have a new relationship with Him and that you'll stop skirting your responsibility. Be that ambassador that He hoped you would be. But if you're here today and you've never become a Christian, this new year could really mean a new you. It goes back to that if-then statement we began with. If you're in Christ, then you can be new. If you're not in Christ today, if you'd like to come forward, I'll pray with you and show you in God's Word how to become a Christian. Dad's going to sing. Let's all take this time and pray.